All nurses to the nurses station.
Lawless country people, all real close family. Lately, some of my kinfolk don't get around too good, you see. When that doctor asked them, "Son, how'd you get in this condition?" They says, "Hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition." Wanna know, Doc, why do you think I got some pain in my joints? He is playing hard in this life that's too short. When that doctor asked me, "Son, how'd you get in this condition?" I says, "Hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on it all." Tell me all about it, Doc.
Yeah, so the athletes absolutely, you know, you're talking to them about it. Then when you have prototypes, they're trying it. And I would say not even just the signature athletes, but in general, you know, as you're testing shoes, you're always testing it on athletes when you have samples to see, to make sure it's what you were planning and engineering and designing. So, yeah, they absolutely, they always have a say.
I'm a visual guy, right? So would Jordan come in, would he fly into Nike, and would you guys sit at a board table and start passing samples around and drawings around? And would he be like, "No, I don't like this. I'd like this." Is that how that worked?
Yeah. And it might happen on campus if they're on campus, or you might fly to one of their games. You might fly to one of their homes. Like it depended on what worked for the schedule of the shoe and for them, right? They're busy. So yeah.
Just incredible. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you remember I was still am probably more of a Jordan fan now than I was when I was a kid. Like my whole basement is Jordan stuff.
Yeah.
I've got Jordan shoes out there. I'm approaching, I think I'm pair 97 or 98 of in my Jordan collection, which is on the other side of the basement. But just absolutely am enthralled with all things Jordan, and especially the shoe game. So
yeah.
What was your favorite thing about working at Nike?
Oh my gosh. It's so hard to pick like one thing. There were so many amazing things. I guess one of my favorite things from my Nike time would have been like, I learned how to be creative. Like the designers at the time and the people there, like I learned how to figure out how to put myself in a creative position to be as creative as I possibly could and take an idea from my mind and physically build it. And so like, I feel like I learned my favorite thing, and I still look back at that. Anytime I want to be creative, I think of times when I was at Nike, and also watching other people be like crazy creative. Like it was like a different level of creativity that I've never seen, I don't think, anywhere else. So I think that is one of my favorite things. But then of course, like meeting all the people I met, like at the time I didn't care. Like it's like, okay, who are we meeting with? I don't care. Like, let's just build the product. Right. I was obsessed with product at the time. And so getting to experience all the different kinds of products, all the different kinds of people, travel, and get to be part of PR. I love that part. Who are we getting?
What was one of the most challenging things, or things, I don't want to say that you didn't enjoy, but just like things that you're like, ugh, this is not like my favorite part of, whether it was Nike or any of the other companies from an engineering perspective?
You know, I really don't like feet. So that whole thing was difficult for 13 years at Nike. I don't like feet.
Like just looking at them?
Like, what? I mean, I would cringe every time I had to like take a shoe from a wear tester or something along those lines. Like somebody's going to try them on. Please have socks on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just did not like feet. So anytime that portion of the thing came up, I just like, ugh.
Were you like spraying inside them or anything like that? Or
not like to in front of people, but like for sure.
I mean, I can't imagine that like you were getting too many smelly shoes, right? Because I would think they're probably brand new when they're putting them on.
Yeah, but you like I said, a lot of shoes you wear test. So when you get wear test shoes back, you got to fully analyze them and understand like where they failed. And so they've been, you know, they got 280 miles on them or they got 300 miles on them. So
this isn't like, hey, we played basketball for an hour. Like they're putting them through the ringer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So after Nike, is that when you went to Tesla?
Yep.
And you were there for, it was short though, right?
6 months.
Okay, yeah. 6 months. And then you've been with Logitech ever since?
I did the footwear review, review channel for about 7 months. And then I've been with Logitech ever since. Yeah, so just over 7 years now.
Wow. Do you miss your time with Nike or are you just like in a different space and place in your life now where you're just loving what you're doing now?
I like what I'm doing now for sure. I don't miss Nike right now because it's a different place. I've kept in touch with enough people that have been there over the years and it's a very different place than when I was there. You know, they've had a lot of more challenges since then. So I love the time that I was there. I think that was probably the best time to probably be there. So it was really great, but I really like moving from footwear into consumer electronics. Like that was no small challenge. And so consumer electronics is very different, like totally different, but it's about consumers' experience. Like I really like experience. That's why when you were describing the experience you provide to people, like experience is a total unlock. And if we can have good experiences in everything we do or as many things as possible, like that's a happy life, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like Logitech. Logitech is such a nice company. Oh my gosh.
So explain to myself and to our viewers, like what does a day in the life of Tiffany Beers right now look like with Logitech?
A day in life. Okay. Well, when I'm working from home, so I work remote. I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 6, because I have meetings starting at 6. So I've got, you know, a third of my team is in Asia. A third of my team is in Europe.
Wow. So you got to deal with time zones.
Yeah. Actually, a third of my team's in Taiwan, a third of my team's in China, and a third of my team's in Europe. Wow. So I've got to deal with the Europe and the AP time zone. So, so right now I'll start pretty early. I try to get all of my meetings early. And then, and a little early, you know, 4 or 5 versus some days I'll have, you know, meetings 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 at night, depending on. So I've got to be flexible and work through that schedule. But I spend my whole time on Zoom meeting with people. Sometimes I'm building strategies. I do a lot of org structures and I manage a lot of people. You know, I've got 150, 160 people. So yeah, that's a majority of it. And then part of my day is looking at product issues, material issues. I lead all of materials and mechanical engineering and sustainable engineering. So looking and strategizing on, are we reaching our sustainability goal? Like what technology do we have to develop? Who's putting it in what? How are we implementing it? Like that whole sustainability side's super fun, super interesting. And then looking at the products, like do we have quality issues or do we have people issues or do we have material issues? So the rest of my day is spent looking at different things like that.
It sounds like you've always worked in like team environments, right? With the different, whether you were at Nike or Logitech or whatever, how have you always been good with dealing with people, or is that something that you've had to learn over time? Because quite personally, like, that's probably the least favorite thing for me is, like, as a business owner, is dealing with, like, the staff. It's not necessarily working with the staff. It's, like, when there are issues. I just don't like that at all.
Yeah. So, early in my career at Nike, you know, for the first, I always think of it as halves of career, but, like, I was an individual contributor. So, I built product, right? I focused on the product. So I didn't want to work with people. And I actually left a trail. They would say, you're leaving a trail of bodies behind you. You got to, like, you got to make these people want to work with you. Otherwise you make one project and you're done. So I definitely had to learn it, right? But I had a head start because I played sports. So right.
And you played team sports.
Yeah, team sports. Exactly. So when I left Nike, so I started managing at Nike. And I was managing teams and leading teams, small ones. But I had also learned, like, Nike environment at the time was very A-type personality, very competitive. Ex-athletes, people that wanted to be pro athletes, like, it was intense environment. But I kind of didn't know that because I'd been there for so long. So when I left and I went to Tesla, that was just a whole different thing altogether. I can't even compare it. It was just such a thing. Do you remember when the Model 3 was being worked on and Elon said, we're in production hell? Do you happen to remember that?
I don't.
Okay.
What was the Model 3?
The Model 3 was it's like the affordable Tesla.
Okay.
So it was like the $30,000, $40,000 version. It was the first time there was going to be an all electric, like, affordable car from Tesla.
Gotcha.
And so I had joined like 3 weeks before Elon said, oh, we're in production hell. And we were. But it's a good time to join a company. But
what did he mean by that?
It just meant that they were like, it wasn't going to plan, right? Like, they were trying to figure it out, and they were trying to figure out, you know, the thing about the Model 3, like, they plan for this super automated assembly and, like, this amazing, you know, Elon level concept of building a car. And then they were doing it at different, you know, the Gigafactory had come online and it was running. So it was just, production was not going well.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously they figured it out, right?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
And I mean, whether you're an Elon fan or not, I mean, the guy's pretty wicked smart, correct? I mean,
I'm going to veto that question.
Oh, there it is. You got to hold the card up to veto. Yeah, first veto. Okay, so personal stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so where'd you meet your husband? And when did you meet your husband?
At Nike. He was a designer.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. His iteration of the story is a little bit different, but a new designer showed up. He was from France, and he didn't have a power cable. So the admins asked, well, they just took my power cable and they gave it to him. And then I didn't have any power.
For like your phone? Is that what you mean by power?
No, for my laptop. Oh, okay. And so the assistant had thought that like mine was a travel one or something like that. Anyway, so they gave it to him. So I went to him and I said, do you have the power cable? Do you have my power cable? And he's like, no, this is mine. I'm like, no, Trisha, you know, this person gave it to you and it's mine. It's off of my desk. And so that was our first interaction that we like. So anyways, he ended up joining my group, or not my group, but the group I was in, sitting right beside me. And we actually started working on the Kobe 6 together. And we just kind of hit it off. And so, yeah, we started dating secretly.
Was that frowned upon there? Huh? Was that frowned upon, like, at Nike? Or at that time, was it frowned upon there?
Not really, but it seemed like it could be an issue. We didn't know, so it was more fun that way too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was like 2010. So I met him at Nike in 2010.
So my youngest son's going to love the fact that you're talking about Kobe sixes. He was, for his birthday is next week. And for his birthday, he wanted either the Kobe sixes, the ones that Cooper Flagg wore this year. They have like the white, almost looks like a snake skin on one side and then stars on the other side. Okay. Or the Kobe fives. And I can't remember what those ones were called, the specific one, but it's like got gold in the back and they've got a cool design on the inside and then pretty sleek on the outside. So that's the one that he ended up going with, the Kobe fives. But I like shoes, but this kid, he knows every single shoe name. Like he could go through my Jordan collection. And although I know basically what they are, I know, definitely know the model, but I don't know the specifics. Like he'll be like, oh yeah, those are the taxis. Oh, those are the, you know, whatever. And yeah, he's the same thing with the Kobe's too. He knows them all.
That's fun.
He's a car guy too. He loves cars and knows car models. It's like he's got a side of his brain that is definitely, I don't know if that's an engineering thing or what it is, but
it's a detail. It's a blue thing. I would call it a blue thing.
A blue thing. I like
yeah.
it. So your husband, well, at the time it was your secret Nike boyfriend, engineer. You guys have been together for probably over a decade now, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's this year will be 15 years. Wow. So yeah, we got married. We've been married now for over 8 years. So okay. Yeah.
Very cool. And yeah. What do you guys like to do together? Like what's your favorite thing that you do together?
I would have to say eat, but that's like a lame answer. So I'm not going to say that, but we race. So he has a race car. And so I'm his crew chief and we go to the racetrack and it's a amazing, total, like pull you out of the world you live in and put you in a different one where you have to be MacGyver for a weekend to keep this car running. And yeah, we do that. And we've done that for the last 14 years.
What type of vehicle does he race?
Yeah. So now it's, he's in a spec Miata. So it's a Mazda Miata from 1999 or 2001.
Okay. Yeah. And will you travel like just in the States or internationally for racing?
No, in the States. Okay. And actually more regionally than that. So we're in a Boston region. So three tracks are within an hour and one track is like 3 hours away. So.
He still like, what's he do for work now?
So he's a footwear designer. So he's the general manager of innovation at ASICS.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of that? Like between the shoe companies, like Nike to ASICS, ASICS to Reebok or Puma, whatever. Is there crossover?
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of people, like he's been at, Allbirds, Nike. Well, before that he was at what's that Italian brand? Fila. His first job was at Fila.
Okay.
Remember Fila?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nike, Allbirds, he had his own consultancy for a while, and then he was at New Balance, and then now he's at ASICS.
Interesting. So, yeah. So what's your favorite restaurant in Boston?
Called Moo.
Okay. Is it a steakhouse?
It's a steakhouse called Moo. I just love the name, actually. Yeah. I think it's great. But we haven't explored a ton of restaurants yet. We're just starting to, you know, we moved twice now in the last 3 years, and that's just exhausting. So
I'm going to share with you. I'm not going to look it up right now, but I'll share. We went to this. So three boys, I do a trip with each boy every year. So three trips per year for their birthdays. And it's not necessarily on their birthdays, but I let them pick like where they want to go and what they want to do. And every trip thus far, we've done it 3 years in a row. So we've done 9 trips. Anthony was first. We went to Chicago. We went to a Bulls game. Last year, Anthony chose Boston because he loves the Celtics. So we went to a Celtics game. We stayed at the Boston Harbor. There's an Italian place. It was unbelievable. We went there, then we walked over to the garden. A couple months back, him and I went to San Antonio. So we got to see the Spurs. We got to, unfortunately, Wembanyama was ill, so we didn't get to see him play. Santino, our middle. First year, where did we go? We went to Charlotte. We went to a Hornets game. And then last year, he loved Steph Curry. So last year, we're like, all right, we got to go. So we went out to San Francisco. I know you said you lived outside there for a bit. And I like San Francisco too. It's a cool area. So we went to a Warriors. We planned to go to a Warriors game, but the problem was in 2020, we bought tickets for the whole family to go see Steph in Detroit. We're going back to see my wife's family, and game got canceled for COVID.
Yeah.
So strike one, strike two. It was a couple years ago, and it was November. They were playing in Cleveland. Jared Oakes was going to get us like floor seats to see Steph play, and Karen's cousin's husband's 50th birthday in like the Bahamas. So I was like, sorry, Jared, can't go. And so that struck out. So then last year we went, or 2 years ago, and their assistant coach died like that week. So they canceled two games, and we had bought these tickets like 3 months in advance. So I like, we're still going out there. And we didn't know the game was canceled yet, because they canceled the one game, and then 2 or 3 days later, they canceled two back-to-back games.
Oh man!
Fortunately, the 49ers were playing the Packers in a playoff game the day after the Warriors game was supposed to happen. So I was able to get tickets to that. So we got to see that. And then last year, or this December, was it December or January? It was December. We ended up going back out there, and we finally got to see Steph play. So it was like strike three, strike four. We got to see him and spend some more time in San Fran. And then Luca, he was real young. So we just did Pittsburgh the first year. Then he picked New York City the past 2 years because he likes the Knicks a lot. Oh. So we did Knicks games the last. But our boys, how you mentioned you love to eat, like my wife and I were foodies. Our boys are foodies too. So we always would do a steakhouse one night and then a really nice Italian restaurant the next night. And
sounds great.
Yeah. So we're actually heading to Boston here. We're going to Bar Harbor, Maine in August for a week. And we're driving and we're going to stop in Boston. My in-laws are going to fly from Detroit to Boston. We'll pick them up and take the rest of the journey because it's just too far for them to drive. And then on the way back, we're going to catch a Red Sox game.
Nice.
And stay another night in Boston. But I love Boston. It's a great city. Are you enjoying it?
Love it. Love it so far. I mean, I used to love Oregon, right, for the nature side, but then San Francisco was so big city, everything's available, plus tech.
Yeah.
And Boston's like the perfect mix of the two. It's like, I don't know why. I should have known this. I should have known this. But like, I'd always like dismiss Boston. Like, I'm never moving there. I'm not moving to Boston. Like, but yeah, I love it. It's, I mean, we're 30 minutes from the airport, but we live out in the woods. Like,
oh, do you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great.
So you guys have some property?
Yep. We have 2 acres. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You mentioned you had a dog earlier. Do you still have any pets or?
Yeah, I got two little dogs, Mowgli and Gizmo, little Havanese guys. They nice. Are our kids.
Yeah. Do you guys, like to get out? Do you hike or what do you guys like to do physical activity wise?
I travel a ton, so it gets challenging, right? So I'm always traveling. I like to walk a bit, but right now we're exploring all the history that is here. Like Walden Pond is like 10 minutes from our house. And it's like, you know, this book, Henry David Thoreau wrote that, like the history here is incredible. And I can say, you know, going through high school, I could care less about history. Right. Like living in Boston, like you're like, that was some president's house. Like that's where they like the shot heard around the world.
Yeah.
It's like 10 minutes from here. And I'm just like, this is so weird. It's so weird, but like, it's a perfect time to explore it because I actually am paying attention and care about it. So that's what we're doing now. We're going to see these like weird places that are like, it's not weird, but like these historical things. So, yeah.
And your husband, he's French, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Where did he grow up?
Paris.
Okay. Yep. So I spent 3 months in, do you know where Grenoble is?
Nope.
Like southern France. It's closer to Italy. That was literally right after I was in Bend, Oregon. So I had like this, I did 2 months there and I did 6 weeks in Bend, Oregon. But I had like 3.5-4 months of like research time. So I did a research paper in Bend, Oregon. And then I was like, I'm not much of a researcher. Like I'm a surgeon. I want to be doing surgery. And so I applied for an AO trauma fellowship and I wanted to, my first choice was Italy. My second choice was France. They gave me France and it was an awesome experience. Do you speak French well?
More than intermediate, but not, I can't really like perfectly hold a conversation. My Logitech's, one of our sites is in Switzerland and they all speak French there. So for me,
where in Switzerland?
A bonus to learning French. So
where in Switzerland?
Lausanne.
Okay. So orthopedic company that I've worked with for 15 years. I do consulting for them. Medacta, they're in Lugano. Do you know where that is? It's in Castel San Pietro. So it's just north of Italy.
Okay. So near the border of Switzerland.
Yeah. Swiss-Italian border. Like I would say 50% of their employees are Italian, but economics are better in Switzerland. So that's where the headquarters is. Do you get over there much to see your husband's family?
We're going this summer, actually. So we get over there every few years. But this, we're going to go this summer. And we're going to take my mom with us. So.
Oh, she's going to love that. Has she ever been?
Not to France. They've been to Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is your mom Italian?
She is.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say she absolutely looks it. Like what part is she from?
I don't actually know. For one of the projects when I was at Nike, we were actually over in, I think it was like Del Tronto. So the east coast of Italy, kind of like midway down the boot. Okay. And it wasn't too far from where her family originally was, but that's all I remember about it.
Yeah. So she's not Sicilian or anything. She's from the mainland there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I took my parents in 2022. They'd never been out of the country. Like, I don't think even to Canada. And, we went for 2 weeks.
Niagara Falls. Come on.
Yeah. The American side though. it's Canadian water coming over. but we went to Tuscany, which is where both my grandma and grandpa Molly are from that area. My grandfather came over when he was 19. My grandmother was born here, but her parents came over from that area, literally same kind of village. And we get to see the house that my grandfather was raised in. We get to see my great grandfather's tomb. It was really powerful.
I bet. Oh my, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, one of the things I always do, and it's very fitting, probably more fitting now than ever with any of my guests, is I do what's called the seventh inning sawbone shoe stretch. So, did you read the instructions? Like, are you wearing a cool pair of shoes?
No, but I have it on my desk.
Let's see it. Is it what I think it's going to be?
What do you want it to be?
I was thinking it'd be the auto lace, like the Back to the Future ones, but I want it to be what you want it to be. Is that it? There it is.
Well, this isn't the auto lace version. I don't have the
auto lace.
Can
you bring it over a little bit? Because version. There you go.
My lighting is probably terrible, but I did bring the auto lace one though too, the Hyper Adapt. So
unbelievable. Yeah.
This guy.
And that was you, huh?
Yeah, that was That's me and a baby? Whole bunch of people, but yeah, not just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So there's a sensor in the heel. So when you step it, it automatically tightens.
So you don't have to push the button.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then what about when you want to loosen it though?
You just push the button.
Okay. So you do have to push it to loosen it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And yeah. Is that your size? Do you wear it ever?
This is my size. I wear it once in a while. Like if I'm doing a talk or something like that, I'll wear it. But I try and keep them really nice.
Yeah. So they're not really going out in the public or on the street or anything like that?
No, I've worn these out probably more. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I wore these all the time, actually, when I was developing it. Like I wore it to the first ever Nike sneaker ball, which was to raise funds. And it was, I went with Tinker, actually, and I wore this before we like announced we were doing it. And it was fascinating, but I stood there and people took pictures the whole time. Like I couldn't do anything.
What are you wearing? Like pants wise, did you have a skirt on or what were you?
I was wearing a dress. I think I was wearing like a black dress.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are those comfortable? Cause I mean, to me, they look really high. They look like WWF wrestling shoes or boots.
I mean, they are high, but they are comfortable, right? So we wear tested them. We like purposely made sure that they would be comfortable because we knew people would wear them. So this is the one without the auto lacing, so it's a little bit less weight. Okay. But yeah, you can wear them around. I mean, people have played basketball in them. I wouldn't. It's going to destroy them. But they're built to be just like the shoe you're wearing right now.
Yeah, and I wear all mine. But the nice thing is I have enough that they all still look really nice because it's not like I'm wearing the same shoe over and over. And yeah. If I ever get any dirt on them, I'm coming home. My boys have shoe cleaning kits that I'll give them a couple. Here's $5, clean my shoes type of thing. But yeah, these are the Jordan 1 black toe kind of OGs, which it's funny because I've had this evolution with Jordans where like I always love the 4s. The 4s were always my favorites, like growing up, like classic picturing Jordan playing the black ones through the breads were always my favorites. And then when I started getting into collecting them, I was like, okay, but I hated the ones. I was like, they're ugly. They look like clown shoes. They're just like very old fashioned. They're not that stylish. And then I got a pair of Jordan 1 low golf shoes and I'm like, ooh, these are comfy. I'm like, they're probably just comfy because they're golf shoes. And then I got another pair, but that weren't golf shoes. I'm like, these are really comfy. Now I'm getting to highs. I never liked the highs, but I was always lows, but now I'm liking even the look of the highs, but I got to loose lace them because if I lace them up too tight, they're just a little tight on the ankles. But
yeah,
now I have more ones. I have close to 50 pairs of ones, and threes are like probably my next most common pair, even though the fours are still my favorite. And then I like the looks of the 11s, but they're not very comfortable, like the Concords.
Yeah.
They're very rigid. Like I can't imagine playing basketball in those, but
I can't imagine playing basketball in any of them, to be honest. I mean, except for the more modern ones.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. Cause they're heavy. They're clunky. Like the sole didn't really bend a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have a huge shoe collection yourself?
I have a decent one. It's, when I was doing the YouTube channel, I think I had 700 pairs.
Holy Lord. Where were you putting them all?
I had, in my channel, I had these really long walls on my shelf. And so I shoot it out of perspective so you can see just the rows and rows of shoes. And I've always had a shoe room basically now where I have just tons and tons of stacked clear containers. So,
yeah, you got to have the containers, right?
Yes. Yeah, or Ziplocs, but don't seal them. Yeah.
Why not seal them?
Because you don't want the moisture trapped in there if there's any moisture.
Okay.
Moisture is good and moisture is bad, right? So keep them out of the UV light is probably the most important, but then contain moisture. But actually, when we were in California, when we bought a house there, and gosh, we were in the house less than a month and we got had to prepare for evacuation for fire. And I'm like, it was a terrifying experience. But at the time I'm like, I have some shoes that I absolutely adore. I bought these 2000 degree Fahrenheit fire bags, to keep the shoes in. And I thought, okay, if we have to evacuate, I'm throwing them in the pool. So they're waterproof bags that are fireproof. Cause I'm like, there's no way I can take all these shoes with me. And at the time I was still super sentimental. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
Never had to put them in the pool though. Did you?
No, no.
Thankfully.
No, we didn't get evacuated. We were like 5 minutes from being evacuated. It was crazy. And it's interesting because the cell towers went down. I mean, it was like the movie when the world starts falling apart. It was totally it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Tiffany, I just want to thank you for the time. It's been really, really cool catching up with you. You're doing some amazing things. I guess my last question that I always like to ask my guests, like, where do you see yourself in 5-10 years from now?
5 or 10 years from now.
Boston?
That's...
Oregon?
What?
Boston? Oregon?
I don't know where in the world I'll be. I have stopped trying to say that I'm not moving. Like, this is the last house, because it never is. So I would, in 5 years, assume I've moved at least one more time. But I think in 5 to 10 years, like, I'm really wanting to take what I've learned in all of the different areas and share it with young women, right, that are trying to figure out what they want to do. So I've been dabbling in career coaching and stuff. So I think in 5 years, I'd want to be doing that full time. I don't know. We'll see how this Logitech gig goes, but I'd like to be helping other women figure out what they want to do, especially if they want to be in engineering or sneakers and things like that, just to try and give them some tips and tricks.
Have you ever thought about writing a book of your life and your experience?
I have a lot, actually.
I think you'd have a great book.
Yeah.
I do. I'd read it.
Okay. All right.
Let's start.
Okay. I've wanted to a million times over, and I thought about it. And I know people that write books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it. Like, there's no question. But then, you know, I never do. Maybe I'll do that.
Now you're in the
You'll
woods.
Have to write the foreword for me.
Okay. I'll write your foreword. You write the book. And then someday, long time from now, when I want to write a book, like my memoirs or whatever, you have to write my foreword.
Okay.
The Richmond Ballfield foreword. Pie eating contests and fish oil.
That's so crazy. I hope he sees this.
I doubt he will, but you never know.
Yeah.
So if people want to follow you, they want to check out, get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Instagram, I would say. I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn. So I would say one of those avenues. I still have a YouTube channel. You can watch my sneaker reviews.
Do you still do it?
I haven't in a long time. Yeah, no. You know what? I got tired of buying. So part of my thing was I would buy the shoes because I wanted to be legitimate. So if it wasn't legit enough that I would actually put my money on the table to vote for it, I wasn't reviewing it. But I ended up with so many shoes, and what do you do with them? And consumerism. And I just hated that whole part of it. So it really cut. I don't review much now anymore, but I think about it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I have to check it out. I didn't realize you had that. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you again for all of our guests out there. If you want to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave comments, suggestions, anybody that you'd like to see as a guest on the podcast, would love to hear from you. And again, Tiffany, just want to thank you for your time, your energy, your story, because it's amazing. You know, I have a good buddy of mine that's like, hey, is that shoe designer? Or that it's not designer, you were an engineer, right?
Or yeah, engineer, yeah.
That worked with Tinker Hatfield, because he had seen like stories or something floating around Erie about, you know, the Back to the Future shoe and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, she agreed to be on my podcast. He's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I was like, she grew up literally like a half a mile from where I live.
Your backyard.
Where I grew up. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. It's, I was on I'm on a Netflix series.
Ooh, where do we find this?
It's called Abstract, the Art of Design. And there's a sneaker one on Tinker Hatfield. And we talk a ton about auto lacing, and I'm in that a whole bunch. So
when was that? When was that released?
It was released in 2015, 16, 17. It's still on there.
Netflix. What's it called again?
Abstract, the Art of Design.
He'll put that stuff right here on the screen so that when people are watching, they can how to get in touch with you, but also to follow you on your YouTube thing and Netflix too. So
yeah,
I'm going to fire that up later tonight.
Cool.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And to all the guests out there, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon. Have a great night.
Well, I have loved some fish around in the outdoors where I'm free. It's where I spent my time before I hurt my hip and my knee. When that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in this condition? Says hey, sawbones, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. I wanna know, Doc, why do you think I got some pain in my joints for years of playing hard in this life that's too short? When that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in condition, I says, hey, soft bones, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me all about it, Doc.
As a disclaimer, this podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professional from any such conditions.